All right. Wonderful to be here with everyone as always. Love all of you and grateful for the opportunity to get into the greatness of the Word. So last week, Reverend Bob Linfelt did a tremendous teaching on healing, and I was especially blessed because a few days prior to that sharing, I felt God had put it on my heart to share on the same topic this week. So after hearing Bob's sharing, I took that as a confirmation. God really wants his people to tap into this topic and receive what he has made available through Jesus Christ. So that's what we'll be looking into tonight. We can call it Healing Part 2. So the human body, though amazingly designed, is susceptible to disease, injury, trauma, and many other types of situations that can cause poor health. However, God never intended for man to be sick. In a fallen world, this obviously is not the case. So let's look at some statistics. Some of these will be mind-blowing because being a chiropractor for over 23 years, I never really looked at these stats until putting together this sharing, and it was quite astonishing. So 95% of the world's population has some type of sickness or health problem. Okay, the world population is 7.9 billion. So that means that 7,505,000,000 have some sort of health disorder. Now, this was the one that really surprised me. One-third of these individuals have more than five different ailments going on at the same time. That's absolutely frightening. Now, if you think about that, that's over 2.5 billion people have five different health problems occurring simultaneously. Okay, well, it doesn't just stop there. It isn't just physical impairments the human race has to deal with. It's also mental and emotional sickness that also has plagued the human race. Here's another interesting piece of data. One out of every five adults just in the United States alone has been diagnosed with some form of mental illness. Now, keep in mind, this is only what's actually reported. It could be more. That's approximately 65.9 million people in this country that have a diagnosed mental disorder. So what does all of this indicate? Since the fall of man, the battle against disease and sickness has created a significant need for healing. And God promised that he would one day heal man spiritually through the promise of the coming seed way back in Genesis. And this has been fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritual healing has now been made available through him. And if we recall for last week from Reverend Linfelt's sharing, the tremendous verses from Isaiah and 1 Peter says, by his stripes you are healed. Amen to that. Since healing is both a spiritual and physical reality, it's fair to say that I believe all of us at some point may have asked the question, why is it that not all of God's people instantly receive divine healing or impart it? Well, it's clear that as we journey through the Gospels and we look through the book of Acts, a particular key element is believing. Several times Jesus told those he came into contact with that they believed they would see God's deliverance. But not everyone expresses that. For some of us, it can be a battle in the mind to believe God in this area. In fact, a good example is the record of the man whose son was sick when he approached Jesus and he said, Lord, help my unbelief. So what I wanted to do tonight to follow up on Bob's wonderful teaching is look at some practical steps that we can apply in our minds to help our believing in this area and simply just receive. So I put together three steps that we can we can apply. So step one, and it's really the foundation, it's to always know in our mind and remember that God is the ultimate healer and that He desires to heal us. Oftentimes, God gets blamed as the cause for illness. I think we all know that He never has done such a thing, nor ever will He do such a thing. It's quite the opposite. In fact, if you really think about it, if that were true, then why did God create our bodies with a natural immune system that has the ability to fight off disease and naturally heal? See? So God put that in us because He does desire healing in our lives. It is God and His Word that contain the power to truly heal and deliver. And it's here, first and foremost, we can trust that He wants to heal us as we look to Him. So we're going to start out in Psalms 107. And if you want to turn there, we're going to be looking at verse 19 and 20. And it says, "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions." God desires to deliver mankind from His own destructions, including disease. Look at Psalm 103, famous verses that most of us are familiar with. Psalm 103, verse 2. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, and look at this, who heals all your diseases." Not just the simple ones, not just the small ones, but all of them. It's God's desire to give us healing in our lives. He heals every kind of disease that anyone can ever get. Now, this is an Old Testament verse, and the first thing He says here is He forgives all the iniquities, and then He heals all the diseases. Well, think about this. How much more, through Jesus Christ, do we have forgiveness to be followed by healing of our impairments and illness? The finished work has completely and totally made this available. Just about everywhere that Jesus went, what did He do? Well, it's just like Reverend Linfelt shared last week. He healed everybody. That was one of the main components of His ministry, is He healed. When we look at the book of Acts, what did the apostles do? They healed. All right? And it isn't just our physical impairments. He also heals the brokenhearted. If you look at Psalm 147, verse 3, it says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." How many times have we had our heart broken in our lives? It's safe to say that we have all, most of us, if not all of us, have been there to some extent. But God, when He sees what's going on in our hearts, He binds up those wounds and He makes us forget the things, the circumstances that can cause those situations. And sometimes for some folks, the emotional brokenness can be harder to deal with than the physical illness. But see, the point to all this is that God desires to heal every component of our lives, physically, mentally, emotionally, because He is the ultimate healer. So that's step one. Step one is to know that it is God's desire to fully heal us and make us whole. Now, here's step two. And this is a huge one. When we receive and manifest God's healing in our lives, it brings God glory. Renewing our minds and having the mindset we want to receive healing to glorify God takes this to a whole nother level. Many times in the Word, when Jesus or the apostles healed someone, others believed. And what I want to do tonight is I want to look at a tremendous record from the Gospels. In fact, personally, this is one of my favorites because it has so many applicable truths that we can obtain and learn from this record. So we're going to go to John, the Gospel of John, and we're going to go to chapter 9. John chapter 9. So it says in verse 1, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. Now, take a minute and consider this scenario. This man had never seen anything, ever, at all. So he had no concept or idea of what color is or was, or the words associated with different colors and objects. He absolutely had no ability to process this information. And how he survived in the world must have been unimaginably difficult. However, he was at the right place at the right time. Verse 2, it says, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Jesus answered, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. Many times when we are sick or ill, we might ask ourselves, is God angry at me? Why am I sick? And our mind can run to a place of sin and condemnation. But here, Jesus is making it clear it had nothing to do with his sinful behavior. Okay, let's read on verse 5. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went away, he washed, and came back seeing. This man was simply told to go wash. Nothing extravagant. Sometimes God may move us or ask us to do something to initiate the receiving of our healing, because he individually knows each one of our hearts and what each of us needs. Thus the man listened and acted. Imagine what went through this man's heart and mind. He was seeing the world around him for the first time. Okay, let's read on. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, is not this the one who used to sit and beg? Others were saying, this is he. Still others were saying, no, but he is like him. He kept saying, I am the one. So they were saying to him, how then were your eyes opened? He answered, the man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went away and washed, and I received sight. They said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. Here, what we see is that many of the people that witnessed this situation, they were in shock. But what will witnessing this miracle do? It's going to bring God glory, and the result is others will believe. They wanted immediate access to Jesus, which is why they asked, well, where is he? All right, verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees the man who was formerly blind. Now, it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also were asking him again how he received his sight. And he said to them, he applied clay to my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees were saying, this man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others were saying, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, what do you say about him since he opened your eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. Now, who do the Pharisees represent here? They represent the adversary, clearly. They try to discredit God and his free gift of healing. They are more concerned about the Sabbath and the law, which is all based on works. Thus, giving the message it isn't true healing because it wasn't earned by keeping the law. But not all of the people buy into that and what the Pharisees had to say, nor does the man. The adversary will use the world around us, false religion, and even those close to us to cause us to doubt that we can receive the healing that God has made available and desires for us to have. Well, as we read on, let's look at an example here at what the man's parents do. So verse 18, the Jews then did not believe it of him that he had been blind and had received sight until they called the parents of the very one who had received his sight and questioned them saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? Then how does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him, he is of age, he'll speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed him to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. This is a key portion to recognize here, because the parents were so blinded by the fear that they missed out on the joy of their son's deliverance. They probably had wished and prayed for years for their son's healing, and it finally came, but fear blinded them. How we can apply this in our own minds is that if we fear the disease is the problem we face and make it bigger than what God has promised us, it's going to be a bigger battle in our minds that is going to make it difficult to trust God in hearing what he has to say on this topic. He told the blind man to go wash. If he was fearful of what Jesus was doing, he may not have listened and went, but he did. Verse 24, so a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God, we know that this man is a sinner. He then answered, whether he is a sinner I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. So they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciples too, do you? Well, they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he is from. Now here, the man takes a full stand on his deliverance. And let's see how he responds. Verse 30. The man answered and said to him, well, here is an amazing thing, that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Well, the man takes a tremendous stand on God's word. He takes a stand on his deliverance, and he receives it. So it was undeniable. So healing is available to receive, and we just don't budge in our hearts. We stand on it, and we claim it. He stood on the reality of what happened to him. Well, what do we have today that is undeniable proof? We have the evidence of the Holy Spirit by way of speaking in tongues. That being said, this also means that we have the undeniable proof of the manifestation of the gifts of healing, both imparting and receiving this manifestation. It's available. If we do one, we have this one available as well. Well, let's read on. They answered him, you were born entirely in sins, and are you teaching us? So they threw him out. We spiritually have been cast out of this dark, sick world and into God's marvelous light. So no matter what worldly entities claim about our ability to receive God's healing, God's word is greater. And this was just a prime example of how we can see that it is clearly God's desire to deliver, and we can receive that. And keep in mind, this was before the Holy Spirit was made available. Let's read on to verse 35. It says, Jesus heard that they put him out, and finding him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, so that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." So the man, at this point, received spiritual deliverance as well. He went from death to life. He received eternal life. God is in the business of total deliverance, making it available for us to receive the life more abundantly. Okay, so we're going to close now with step three. And step three is fervent prayer. And we're going to close in James chapter 5, verse 16. Most of us, I believe, are familiar with this verse. James 5, 16. It says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." All right, there's two parts to this verse. Okay, first part is we're vulnerable and then we pray. And to be vulnerable means that we have the courage to expose our health issues and our problems to each other so that we can pray for each other. We can't hold back and be afraid. And the response that we have for each other isn't a response of judgment or weakness, but it's simply that we pray. And we pray fervently. The word fervent means, in Greek, energeo. This means effectual, forceful, powerful, willful prayer. And in the context of this, if you read further on in James, he's talking about Elijah, how Elijah went and he prayed seven times before he got the result of the rain. So the first time Elijah didn't pray, he didn't see the result. The second time, the third time, no result. But the point is he kept praying. So fervent prayer can, in the context of this and how we can apply it, can be considered continuous prayer. But also the word effectual means effective or productive. And what type of prayer is highly, highly effectual that we can do? I think we all know speaking in tongues. We can speak in tongues for each other. And we can go nonstop. I remember when I was fighting off COVID, I know that I had a lot of believers praying for me, but I remember one thing I did on one particular day is I spoke in tongues for 9 hours straight. I had never done that before in my life. But it wasn't too long after that things started to turn around for me. And we can do that for each other. A true story, I'll close with this story. There's a story of a young man just last year who had a serious burning skin disease that was quite progressive, and it was worsening. And this young man had it for 18 months, and it was to the point where he could no longer work, and if he laid his head on his pillow, it burned, And his mother, who belonged to a woman's Bible study group, was a little reluctant to share the son's condition because she didn't want to expose him or embarrass him. But she finally asked the group to pray. And one woman decided to come and minister to the young man. And the young man, about 3 weeks after that, continued to digress until he hit rock bottom. And then finally, he just cried out to God in desperation with his whole heart. And in about an hour, he looked at his phone and he saw an ad for treatment for a rare skin disease that he had never heard of, but it sounded exactly like what he had. Anyway, make a long story short, he got the treatment he needed and he healed up pretty quick. So when we pray fervently and it's effectual, God can use any method he chooses to use to allow us to receive our healing. Sometimes we'll come across a healthcare physician, or maybe there's a medication or just something that can help to initiate that healing that God has made available. And whether it's through divine healing or natural healing, it is God's desire for us to be healed. And keep in mind, and this will be the very last thing I say before I pray, is that we're going to get healed no matter what one day, because it's just a matter of when it's manifested. It's going to be manifested in the here and now, or in this lifetime while we're on this earth, or it's going to be manifested at the return of Jesus Christ at the gathering together when we get the new body. The bottom line is that we are going to be healed. It is a guarantee. Whether we receive it now and we manifest it now in our lives, much of that is up to how we approach God and how we believe his word to receive these great blessings. Amen? Amen. So in review, step one, we know that God desires to heal us and for our healing. Step two, we have the mindset that healing brings God glory, which is very powerful because we are working in partnership with God. So how much more to see and bring about miracles that others may believe. And step three, fervent, effectual prayer. So Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for this time that we could share with one another and we could get into this topic, especially in light of a communion next week. I just pray for every heart here, every mind, every believer that is fighting off physical ailments or sickness. And Father, that we can just grasp onto the truth to receive healing, to impart it, and to just see great deliverance within your family. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.